the call. Let's talk about the call a little bit. Let me start by saying this. This week I was watching some company recruiting videos, and it was really fun to watch how companies, great companies, try to recruit people. I watched one from Apple, I glanced at one from Google, and then I was really into the ones for the military, just because I think they're probably the best at recruiting people. And what I found was interesting is that in all of these recruiting videos, there's always this part where they kind of give what I call the call, okay? And if the call is basically this, they say, here's what we're all about, here's what we do, here's why we're so awesome. You need to join us. Or they'll say something like, we want you, or they'll say, we need you. And it's this call, and if you're watching these videos, they do them so amazingly that by the time you're done watching, you want to become a part of that thing. Like, I was watching this week, and I almost could have become an Apple employee by the end of the video. I mean, I was thinking, man, maybe I should go. No, I wasn't really that intense. But that's what these videos do. Guys, you understand me, okay? When you're sitting at home and the Marines recruiting video comes on, do you not start to second-guess yourself and think, maybe that's who I need to be, maybe that's what I need to do? How many guys do that? Anybody? No? Am I the only one? Me and Devin? Are you kidding me? Okay. All right. Yeah, like, you know, army of one, soldier. Oh, man. It just does something inside of me. If that doesn't work for you, I don't know what will, to be quite honest with you. But here's the deal, you guys. Whether it's a company or something like that, we're all going to answer some kind of call. We're all going to answer some kind of call with our life. Call's different for different folks. Some people answer the call of a career. Okay? Some people answer the call as far as like a way of life. Like they say, my way of life is going to be this specific way. So we're always answering calls. And there's a lot of calls that go out to us in society and in culture. They're constantly saying, hey, join us. Become a part of us. Do what we're doing. Be who we are. And as I was watching those videos and as I was thinking about this, here's what I thought. And here's what I noticed is this. Anybody who makes a call to something, a call for something like a great company, they never make it sound easy, okay? They never make it sound like it's going to just be a cakewalk, okay? Great companies or great organizations, when they recruit, they make it sound kind of hard. They make it sound like, hey, if you can become a part of this, it's not going to be easy, but it's going to be worth it because we're going to make you better than what you are right now. We're going to make you something more than you ever thought that you could be. You're going to be a part of something that's elite. You're going to be a part of something incredible. And all of us, every single one of us, has this desire in our heart that we want to be part of something great. I don't know about you, but I absolutely do. I want to be a part of something great more than I want to make a lot of money. A lot of money would be nice, but I want to be a part of something great more than that. And what they're finding is that with this generation, like your generation of students, your generation of people, for the most part, would rather be a part of something that has great significance and that they know that they're making a difference than get paid a lot of money at a job. And so it causes companies to rethink how they market themselves and how they promote themselves. But the big idea is this: we all want to be a part of something great. We all want to be a part of something that has great impact. We all want to answer the call to something that's gonna impact and make a lot of difference. It made me think about Lewis and Clark. When they made their expedition, when they were gonna go discover the rest of America, they put out this request for volunteers to come and help them. And the request said something like this. It said, we're seeking men for a journey to an unknown world. This journey will be fraught with danger. We can't guarantee your safety. Survival is probably gonna be minimal. Risk is gonna be great. You may face wild animals. Our destination's uncertain. Chances of death are very high. They put this ad out, and hundreds of people responded to that. I think that's significant because we all want to be a part of something great. We all want to be a part of something that has impact. And just that little example kind of reveals that. So with all of this, you guys, we've got to look at Jesus. And I want to look at Jesus, and I want to look at the call that he gave his disciples. You see, I find that very often when we talk about the call to follow Jesus, we don't look at what Jesus actually said when he called his disciples. You see, sometimes we get a watered-down version of what it means to be a true, fully submitted follower of Jesus. But let's look at what Jesus actually called. Let's see what he actually said. We're going to look at a few verses to do this because when Jesus made his call, he didn't make it easy. In fact, when Jesus called his disciples, it was actually a very intimidating kind of call. First place we're going to start is Luke 14, 25 through 33. By the way, if you have your Bible, would you just raise it up in the air real quick? Just raise it up if you have like a hard copy Bible. Good. Now, here's the deal. I'm not against cell phones. I think they're great. I want you to start bringing your Bibles because you just need to have your Bible. Sound good? Bring your hard copy. Okay, here we go. Luke 14, 25 through 33. It'll be on the screen for you today. If you don't have your Bible, that's okay. Here's what it said. Now, great crowds accompanied him. That's talking about Jesus. And he turned and said to them, here's the call. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him. That's a pretty intense call. So Jesus says, if you're going to follow me, you need to deny your mother and father. You need to be willing to forsake your children. You need to be willing to, We don't need to go to that part. Yeah, there we go. You even need to be willing to like lay your own life down or else you're not worthy to be my disciple. That's a pretty intense call, I would say. Let's go to Mark 8:34. Mark 8:34 says this, and calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he said to them, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. That is a pretty intense call. Deny yourself, meaning put all your desires, put all your needs on the back burner, put them to the side. All the things that you hope to become, all the things that you really want to do with your life, put them on the backside, move past them, take up your cross and follow me. Okay, take up your cross. In other words, be willing to die to follow me. Be willing to follow my every step. Be willing to follow me even to death. That's a pretty intense call. Let's take a look at John 6, 53. And Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever, and then Jesus says this, whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. Continuing on. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread, talking of himself, will live forever. Jesus said these things in the synagogue as he taught at Capernaum. And then this is very interesting. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, this is a hard saying. Who can listen to it? Here, this is a very unique verse where Jesus is basically talking to a crowd and he's saying, hey, you need to eat my flesh, you need to drink my blood, and otherwise you have no part of me. That is a hard saying. That is a very hard call. Last one, Matthew 10, 38 through 39. It says this, and whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Have you answered the call that Jesus gave? Have you answered that call? Because Bible talks about this, how the eyes of the Lord are looking across the world and they're looking for somebody whose heart is dedicated to Christ and who's going to say, yes, I will answer that call. I will answer the call to lay aside everything, to deny myself, to take up my cross, and to follow you. And I just want to ask you today, is that you? Are you willing to deny yourself, to take up your cross, and follow Christ? Are you a student who's going to be fully submitted and have a life that's fully submitted and fully engaged and fully focused on the things of God? That's my question for you today. As a student ministry, my desire is that we are all, every one of us, leaders included, that we're all answering Jesus' call. That we're all saying, you know what? We forsake all the stuff of the world. We forsake all that stuff, and we're pursuing God 100%. We're pursuing Jesus with all that we have. That's my heart's desire for us, okay? How great would it be if we were marked as a student ministry where every student was fully devoted and fully submitted to Christ? Man, that's what we're striving for. That's what we want. Now, there's four things, there's four kind of buckets, I call them, of areas that we can look at in our life that if we start putting these things into practice, it sets us up to answer that call that Jesus gives us. So the first is this, and I'll briefly touch on these, okay? There's the call to a life on mission. And Micah taught last week, and he kind of covered that a little bit. So the call to a life on mission has to do with simply being a person who ongoing is sharing their faith, is sharing who Jesus is. That means that this is a person who's living on mission. That means that wherever they go, everybody knows that guy follows Jesus. That guy, that girl loves Jesus. What would it look like if your life was set up in such a way like that? Because that is what answering the call is all about. Answering that call means that you're living your life in such a way that people know that that person knows Christ. Let's take a look at a couple verses here. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. I don't think I put that on there, actually. If you have your Bibles, go to Matthew 28, 19 through 20, and it says this. Jesus is about to ascend into heaven, and so these, in Matthew at least, this is the last words that we have of Jesus. How many of you know last words that somebody say are very important? Okay, they are. If you watch a movie, normally when somebody's about to die, they say something that's like a summary of their life that they want everybody to know. It's a clue to some kind of thing that everybody needs to know. Or in those terrible movies, the dead person's just about to say something that's gonna like help solve the problem, and then they die, and that's just not fun. 19 says this, Jesus says this, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. See, Jesus's call for us is that everywhere we go, we're sharing our faith. Everywhere we go, we're living our life in such a way that he is glorified, he's honored, and that when people look at our life, it's like they're just automatically like looking at him, okay? That's a call. It's a call to mission. Mark 16, 15 says this. Very similarly, Mark 15, 16 says this, and he said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe is condemned. Jesus' call, you guys, is the call to a life on mission. Okay, number two, Jesus calls us to a life of dedication. Here's what a life of dedication is. A life of dedication is a life that's set apart, okay? It's a life that has complete loyalty. It's a life that's completely faithful to the cause of Jesus. So when we answer the call, we are answering the call to what? First, live our life on mission. To secondly, to live a life that is fully dedicated to Christ, okay? And there's a lot of areas where that what that entails, okay? When we live a life that's dedicated to Christ, that means that we live a life of purity. That means we live a life of purity in our sexual lives. It means we live a life of purity in the things that we put into our mind. It means we live a life of purity in the things that come out of our mouth. That's the call to a life of dedication. It means that when we live a life that's of dedication, it means that our finances, that we dedicate our finances to God. So just like Brendan said in the video there, when he said that, you know, he gives because he wants to give God what is his and he wants to honor God. When we dedicate our lives, we are honoring God in the area of our finances. We're dedicating that to him. We dedicate ourselves in the area of our time. What that means is this, is that we make sure that no matter how busy our schedule gets, that there's always time for us to spend with him. There's always time for us to spend in prayer. There's always time for us to look at his word. That's what a dedicated life looks like. Listen, you're going back to school. okay? You're going back into this really super busy part of your life. I want to challenge you, would you answer the call and the call of dedication and make sure that no matter your schedule this year, that there's always time for Jesus? Because if not, you guys, if your life is so busy that you go from one thing to the next, to the next, to the next, and there's never any time for Christ, then you are not answering the call that Jesus has, and you're not setting yourself up for a great, vibrant, fully devoted relationship with him. If you're not intentional in that, everything else will crowd in. So I'm challenging you, as you go into school this year, make sure that you have time for Christ. Okay, when we dedicate ourselves, that means that even down to the point of we dedicate our physical bodies, okay? Here's what that means. That means that you're eating good. Seriously. When we dedicate our life to Christ, okay, and we're like giving ourselves over to him, that means that we don't eat ice cream for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and snack, okay? Maybe you just eat ice cream just for breakfast, all right? Just for breakfast and good food after that. I'm serious about this, though. Like, when we're dedicating our lives to Christ, that means every part of us, every little part, it means that you're working out, okay? Not working your thumbs out, working your physical self out. See what I'm saying, okay? It means you're doing some squats every so often. You're lifting a weight or two. Even if it's 1 pound, that's okay. As long as you're doing something. Maybe you're running around the block. Maybe you're running up the stairs, okay? Maybe you are simply doing yoga stretch positions. It doesn't matter. When our lives are dedicated to Christ, even down to our physical selves, we're giving it all to him and saying, God, I'm submitting myself fully to you. When we live a life of dedication, all of our choices are filtered through him. Every one of our choices. Every one of our choices. That means that when we answer this call and we live a life of dedication, that means that it almost becomes second nature that when a decision comes up or when we're struggling with something, that we're taking it straight to him. Like it's just natural. You know, we don't make a decision or we don't do something without filtering it through. God, what would you have me do? What do you want me to do? That's what a life of dedication. Okay? I want you to answer the call to dedication. I want you to answer that. Okay, last one is this. This is what we're going to spend the majority of our time on today. When we answer the call, we answer the call to live a life of prayer. Life of prayer. Now, prayer. I'm not talking about the prayer where you sit in a circle and you give superficial requests in the circle and everybody prays kind of silent. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a lifestyle of prayer. I'm talking about a vibrant prayer life that makes a difference in this world, that makes a difference in your school, that makes a difference in your life. That's what we're talking about today. So I want to do the very best job that I can of trying to communicate this, and then the Holy Spirit's going to have to inspire you. And between the two of us, I hope you walk out of here praying and inspired to pray like you never have before. Is that okay? Sweet. Okay, let's do this. Here's what I want to do. I want to start, and I want to just give you a basic model of prayer. And I'm going to steal it from Jesus, because I figure he's an okay person to steal it from, okay? So I'm going to steal it from him. Sorry, Jesus, I'm stealing your prayer and teaching them. Are you okay? Okay, good, you're okay with that. I've got a prayer life, you see, so I know what he's saying to me. All right, it's interesting to me that, recorded in Scripture at least, we never see the disciples come to Jesus and say, hey, Jesus, how do we worship you? I've never been able to find that. We don't see the disciples coming to Jesus and saying, hey, Jesus, how should I give? Like, do you have, you know, do I write the check? Do I give online? Like, do I give you my cash? Like, what's more? We don't see them saying that. I don't even see the disciples saying, hey, Jesus, how should we fast? Like, should we fast food, or is it okay if we fast water, or like, is it okay if I fast my Facebook? Like, we don't see them saying that, but there is a place where disciples say, hey, Jesus, can you please help us? How the heck do we pray? How do we pray? Teach us to pray. I think that's really significant that of all the things that's recorded here, what's recorded is the disciples asking Jesus, how do we pray, and then Jesus giving a reply. Another thing, too, is this. I don't find in the Bible, we can assume it, okay, we can assume it, that Jesus fasted, okay? Well, obviously, fasted 40 days, right? Okay, that's recorded. But throughout his life ongoing, I don't see necessarily that it says, okay, Jesus fasted here. All right? It doesn't necessarily say Jesus worshiped. Of course, we can infer Jesus was fasting, he was worshiping and all that. But over and over and over and over again, it says Jesus prayed. Jesus got alone to pray. Jesus got alone with his Father. Okay? And we also see constantly Jesus telling his disciples, pray, pray, make sure you pray, be praying. And then after Jesus, we look at the other New Testament writers like Paul and Peter, these great apostles, and over again, we hear them saying things like this, pray always, pray continually, be constant in prayer, never stop praying. Guys, there's something about prayer that's incredibly important, and if we don't understand it, if we don't get it in our hearts, it's going to inhibit us. We got to grasp what this thing is, what this great thing about prayer is, so that we can make it part of our lives. Okay, so let's take a look at this. Matthew 6, 9 through 13. Would you go ahead and open your Bibles or get it up on your phone, and we're going to spend some time in this verse, okay? So, Jesus is teaching, and he goes in, and he starts talking about prayer. And he gives us this model prayer. Now, here's the deal. You know, I wish he was a little more specific, because he just kind of gives us the prayer. And you read it, and you think, well, I feel like there's so much more that I would want to pray for, right? Well, that's because when Jesus gave this prayer, he wasn't saying, this is the only prayer that you are to pray, and this is the only thing that I hear. No, he's giving us a model, and from that model, we can learn some tools, we can learn some principles to apply in our own prayer life. So let me read the whole thing through, then we're going to break it down. This, then, is how you should pray, he says. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Read it with me. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one or from evil. Okay, very, very good. Great job, guys. You're great readers and you're great prayers, okay? Good job. Give yourselves a hand. All right. Now, good job. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Let's start there. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. This is how Jesus models starting prayer. What is prayer? Prayer is expressing praise to God. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Great is your name. Prayer is blessing the name of God. God, I come before you and I am just so grateful for you. You are just so awesome. You created things and you're huge. And you saved me, and you do things that I don't even know that you do. You're wonderful. Prayer is speaking out great things to God. Psalm 135:1 says this, praise the Lord, praise the name of the Lord. So Jesus models for us, when we enter into prayer, prayer is not, the first entryway into prayer is not always our need, or not always our situation. But the entrance point to prayer often needs to be, God, I just praise you. I just praise you. Sometimes I think, unfortunately, we box prayer into this thing where it's where we're just speaking things that we need from God. And there's nothing wrong with that. We're going to get to that in just a moment here, okay? But if that's all we think of what prayer is, then we're totally missing out because prayer is far more than that. And maybe you pray to God more often than you think. Maybe when you're driving in the car, maybe when you're at school, maybe when you're doing stuff, maybe you drive and you're just praising God's name, you know? God, you're just so great. God, I just really appreciate you. Thank you for just being there for me. Guess what? You're praying. You're worshiping while you're praying, but you're praying. That's good. So as we pray, think of that as a model. Before you start praying, honor God's name. Just give great praise for who he is. It's a great way to just start into prayer, okay? It's kind of like this great, like, just on-ramping type thing because it gets you going. It gets you ready. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let's go ahead and leave that verse up there just so we can have it up there if that's okay. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What is this saying? Jesus is modeling this. What is this saying? It's saying this. In prayer, there's points in prayer when we just need to simply tell God that we want his will to be done. It's asking God to have his kingdom reign here on earth. It's asking God to have his kingdom reign inside of your heart. It's asking God to have his kingdom reign in your family. When we say, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, what we're saying is this. We recognize, God, that things on earth here aren't always great. I recognize that there's problems down here. I recognize that, you know, my heart's not always in the right place. I recognize that there's sin. But you know what? I want to pray that what's going on in heaven, that perfection, greatness, I want that. I pray that that comes to earth here, okay? I'm praying that in the darkness of this situation, that your kingdom would somehow shine there. What you're praying is this. In my friend who, man, they just don't know you. They're far from you. Like, I'm praying that your kingdom would come and be relevant in their life. That's what it means to pray that. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. God, let your kingdom come to this earth. Let it be evident all around me. And help me to be a part of that. Give us this day our daily bread. This is simply kind of our go-to for prayer. This is simply asking God to supply our needs. This is where we ask God, God, I need your help in this. I need this. I would like this. And this is where you ask God for help in difficult situations. This is where you cast all of your desires. This is where you cast all of your cares upon him, is at this part in prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. Jesus gives us permission, you guys, to ask God, to ask for things, okay? He wants us to ask for things. He wants us to ask for everything. No matter how silly it is, he gives us permission to do that. Forgive us our debts as we've also forgiven our debtors. There's a place in prayer, you guys. There's a place in prayer where we're simply asking God to forgive us for our sins. There has to be a place in prayer where we confess and say, God, forgive me. Forgive me for the sins that I know that I do, and God, forgive me for those sins that I don't even know that I'm doing them, okay? I don't even realize that I've been doing such and such a thing. There's gotta be a place in prayer where you're asking for forgiveness. It's this place in prayer also that you're asking God to bring to mind anybody that you need to forgive. All right? Forgive us our debts as we've also forgiven our debtors. There's got to be a place in prayer where you say, God, if there's anybody that I'm holding something, that I'm holding against, I just want to ask, for, I forgive them. I want to release that. There's got to be that place in prayer. And finally this. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Okay, in this model, this is simply this. This is simply asking God to help you overcome sin. It's simply saying, God, I'm going throughout my day today. There's going to be times where I might be tempted to dishonor your name. There might be times where I might struggle. There might be times where, you know, I might be tempted to fall back into a life that I don't want to fall back into. I might be tempted to say something that I don't want to. This is where we say, God, deliver me from those times. Help me through those times. It's asking God to make you aware of areas where you might be tempted, because maybe you're not even aware of it. That's what this portion of prayer is for. That's a model for prayer. That's just a simple, basic model. Now, I'm going to give you a little acronym to help you so that you don't forget, because that's going to be hard to memorize, right? Okay, say the word acts. Acts. Now, spell the word acts for me. Good. Not that kind of acts, although that is a good acts. I like that. A-C-T-S. A-C-T-S. Come on. A-C-T-S. Here's what that stands for. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. That's like a big churchy word. I'll have to explain that one, okay. Okay, acts, go ahead and repeat it back to me. What is acts? Oh, come on, I love it, very nice. Why don't this section try it? Hey, section one over here. Hey, how's it going? Hey, acts, what does that sound for? Or what does it stand for? What does it stand for and sound like? Oh man, you guys are, bless God for you guys. Section three, you guys are small, but hopefully mighty. Hey, I got a question. What does acts mean? Bless God. I will explain what supplication means, by the way. Hey, middle section, you're big and powerful. What does Acts stand for? Beautiful, beautiful. Next time, so supplication is simply this, you guys. It's simply asking God. It's asking for your daily bread. That's what supplication means, asking God for something. So when we enter into prayer, what would it look like if when you entered into prayer, you entered in with the Acts model, adoration. God, I just appreciate you. I just so adore you. You are so great. Confession, God, forgive me for where I've fallen short. Forgive me for my sin. Forgive me for not forgiving other people. Thanksgiving. Man, God, thank you that I can even pray to you. Thanks for everything that you're doing in my life. Thank you for this friend and that parent and this thing. And thanks for this food, God. I just love food. Supplication. Amen. Supplication. God, would you be with me today as I go throughout my day? God, would you be with me that as I'm sitting in that class with that teacher that's just really hard, would you just give me grace? Acts, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. Memorize that. Start your first day of school. When you wake up, have Acts going through your mind and have that be a part of what you're doing all throughout the day, adoring God. Now, I don't want to be so legalistic, you guys. This doesn't mean that every time you sit down to prayer, you go, okay, I'm sitting down to prayer. Okay, adoration. This doesn't mean, okay, so if you go to like a school where you can pray and it's, you know, this doesn't mean that like Faith Christian guys, okay, this doesn't mean that when you sit down to lunch, you're all nervous and you're like, okay, I'm gonna pray for my lunch. Okay, adoration, okay. God, and you spend like, no, that's not what that means, okay? This is just a model, all right? What I want to get into your mind is this, is that prayer is far more than just, God, help me with this. God, help me with this test. God, help me. It's more than that. It's gotta be more than that. And beyond that, okay, I want to talk about this because I want to add a letter to the Acts thing. Because while we talk about praying for ourselves, while we talk about that, guys, if we're going to go deeper and if we're going to answer this call, okay, the call to a life of prayer, there's got to be a place where we intercede, all right? Intercede. So intercession is essentially praying for others or praying for something outside of ourselves, all right? And a lot of people stop short of intercession. It might, you know, maybe their personal prayer life's decent, but intercession's just not happening. You know, prayer for others, prayer for other bigger things out there. So I've created a new acronym. It's called IACTS, kind of like iPhone. It's not up there, but it's IACTS. And it's intercession through the filter of adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication, okay? So the I basically means intercession. So when you're about to pray or go in for somebody else, it means that everything that you say in Acts is filtered through the process of, hey, what I'm praying for somebody else. I'm praying for somebody else's need, okay? You still adore Christ the same way. You still adore God. You still thank him the same way. But when it comes to thanksgiving, you're thanking him for something else, for somebody else. God, I thank you so much for Josh Holderness, man. God, I just thank you for him. And God, I'm just interceding for him and praying that you'd give great blessing in his life and that you would just, in all that he's doing, like playing the guitar, God, just help not, just let a string not break on his guitar when he gets back up there and help him to have a great school year. Intercession. Intercession. Guys, I want us to become a student ministry that's known for its intercession. Okay? Not that we just, you know, are good at like praying personally, but that we are a student ministry that intercedes on behalf of other people, that intercedes and that when we pray, things move, man. Things are actually happening, okay? If we're going to become great as a student minister, we've got to have intercession as part of our lives, okay? Colossians 1:3, it says this, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord, Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. Paul's writing there, and basically what he's saying is this, he's just talking about what it means to intercede, all right? Paul was an intercessor. All throughout his letters, he's saying, I'm praying for you, I'm praying this about you, and oh, by the way, pray for me and pray. Intercession. Let me ask you this, when was the last time that you intensely and intentionally, let me say that again, intensely and intentionally prayed for somebody? Honestly, when was the last time you did that? Just think about it. When was the last time that you spent more than one day praying for somebody else? Think about it. When was the last time that you dedicated yourself and said, listen, I'm going to pray for this person as long as it takes until I see something happen in their life? When was the last time that you did that? Have you ever done that before? What would that look like, you guys, in your prayer life? What would that look like if there's somebody in your circle that, man, maybe they're going through a rough time, maybe they don't know Christ, maybe they're, I don't know what it is, maybe they've got a rough situation happening at home, I don't know what it is. What would it look like if you dedicated yourself and said, I'm dedicating myself to intercede for that person until something happens? And I'm not gonna stop after 2 days. I'm not gonna stop after a week. I'm not gonna stop after a year. I'm not gonna stop after 5 years. I'm just gonna keep going and I'm gonna intercede for that person. That is the call to the life of prayer. That's not an easy call. That's not very easy to have something that you're ongoingly praying for. That's not an easy call. No, it's not. But that's what Jesus calls us to, you guys. That's denying yourself. That's taking up your cross. That's following him. Let me go through what prayer does for us. I'm just gonna rattle these off with verses attached. This is what prayer does in our life. Prayer builds our intimacy with God. Matthew 6:6 talks about that. Prayer prepares us for what God has next for us. That's Acts 1:14. Let me pause there really fast. Students sometimes will come up to me and they don't really know what they want to do with their life, okay? Like, mostly this is like seniors, okay? And they're just not sure what they want to do with their life, and they're like, hey, would you pray for me? Like, I don't know what decision to make and all this kind of thing. And oftentimes, that is the first time where a student is actually faced with a situation where they really don't know what's next, and they actually have to press in to pray, and they haven't done it ever. And now they're faced with like, okay, do I go to college? Do I do this? Do I do that? It's the first time they've actually had to wrestle through trying to figure out what God wants from their life. And sometimes they have no idea how to do that or how to hear from God or how to, and so it's a struggle. And so they're coming to like their pastor and saying, hey, would you just go ahead and pray for me and like tell me what I should do? No, guys, prayer prepares us for God, for what God has next for us. So students, as you go back to school, I don't care if you're a senior or a freshman, start praying and asking God, what do you want next for me? God, what do you want next? What do you want for me tomorrow? What do you want for me next school year? Seniors, you better start praying this really intensely right now. What do you want from me after high school? Do you want me to go to college? Where? Don't wait until May and say, oh, P.S., God, what do you want me to do? Start now. Start now. Prayer reveals what God wants us to do. Same kind of thing. Acts 1:24 talks about that. Prayer keeps our relationship with God intact. Matthew 6:12. Oh my goodness. Can I just pause here really fast? All right. So let me just get vulnerable-ish. I will go through time. Okay, so as of a few weeks ago, I used to kind of have this routine where I would Monday through Thursday, because that's my, well, Sunday through Thursday, but Monday through Thursday is kind of my work week. And I would, you know, pray and kind of be in devotion. And then Friday, Saturday, leading into Sunday was pretty much kind of like, for me, it was my vacation, okay? So, you know, hey, God, I really prayed. It was good. Now I can rest. And I discovered something, okay? When I'm not constantly in prayer, literally every day, I feel it with my relationship with God. I feel distant. I'm more grumpy than usual. I'm just like angry at everything. I can get angry, by the way. I can get frustrated with things very easily. If you know me well, you can laugh because I do. So, but when I'm praying, I'm so much better, okay? I'm so much better in that area. And so here's the deal. Prayer keeps our relationship with God intact. Do you ever feel, going through your week, do you ever feel like, man, God, I just feel distant from you. I just feel like, you know, I don't even feel like I'm a Christian anymore. I don't even know like what you're, maybe it's because you haven't been praying. Maybe it's because you've been going through your week and you haven't set aside time. Maybe you haven't been intimately focused on him and then you feel this distance. Prayer fixes that. Prayer fixes that because prayer is intimacy. Prayer protects us from evil that may try to get us. That's Matthew 6:13. Guys, there is evil out there. The devil's real, by the way. Demons are real, by the way. And prayer is what protects us from the influences that those things have on us. Sometimes we'll be in our house, and both Ari and I, we will just sense, we just feel like we're being attacked. We just feel like, man, we just feel, the boys are acting all crazy, like they never act, like they're possessed with demons and that kind of stuff. And so they're just acting weird, and the house just feels, there's like almost like this dark, it's weird. And we just pray, and guess what? The boys start behaving well, like they're go from demon to angel, and our house is all of a sudden more bright, the lights got fixed. It's crazy. Guys, but prayer protects us from those things that are evil, and they're real. They're real. I'll bet that some of you will have a day this week, this year, this school year, when you're going to school and things just feel dark. You feel heavy. You walk into the building, it just feels dark. And I can't describe it, but you'll know what I'm talking about. Instead of like staying in that doom and gloom, and instead of like being depressed and sad, pray. Just start praying. Say, God, God, those demons or whatever's trying to get me down, I refute that in Jesus' name. God, in Jesus' name, that has to leave me. And watch the difference that it will make for you. It'll be crazy. It'll be good. Prayer is our number one source in time of trial or need. James 5:13 tells us that. When you have a situation, when you have an issue, make prayer your number one thing. Prayer builds our faith. Jude verse 20 talks about that. That when we pray, our faith is actually built. Meaning that when we start praying, it gives us this ability to believe for bigger things. I like that. Prayer invokes God's power in our life. Colossians 4:4 talks about that. Prayer moves things. 2 Thessalonians 1:11. What I mean by moves things is this. It means that when you start praying, things start happening. When you start praying, things start changing. Things start switching up. Okay? I could give you like dozens of examples, and many of you probably could too. I can't even like narrow it down to one. But let me tell you this. I know this. When it comes to FSM, when we took over FSM, there's so many like visions we have for FSM and so many things we want to see for FSM. And it's not until we start praying that some of those things start to happen. It wasn't until we started praying for great leaders that great leaders started kind of showing up somehow. Okay? It wasn't until we started praying for the hearts of students to be softened and transformed. It wasn't until we started praying that we start to see that kind of stuff happening. Prayer literally moves things. Guys, what's going on in your life that you need to move? What needs to move in your life? What needs to move in your life? Start praying. Okay, a few more. I'm going to just go real quick. Prayer helps us understand what God's heart is. Prayer gives us passion for things that God is passionate about. Ooh, that's a big one. Okay. I've been praying recently, God, give me a heart for unsaved people like you have, because I just, in my own heart, just for some reason, just do not have that heart. And I've been praying for it. I can feel like a change happening. It's good. Prayer changes things. Prayer gives hope. Prayer changes us. Hallelujah. Oh my goodness, so good. So, what do you do with all that? What do you do with, okay, so I gave you the practical stuff. All right, now I'm going to give you a call. Are you ready? Here's the call. Are you willing to answer the call to prayer? Are you willing to answer the call to prayer this school year? Here's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to sugarcoat it and say it's easy, because it's very hard, and very few of you will actually answer it, because it's not easy, and a lot of folks like things that are easy and not hard and unchallenging, and a lot of folks just simply want to coast in life and enjoy it until it's over. But that's not some of you. That's not some of you. Some of you are saying, you know what, I'm put on this earth for far more than just coasting through. Some of you are sitting there and saying, I'm in this for far more than just the enjoyment and pleasures that are temporary of high school. I'm in my life, I'm in this thing for far more than that. And so you, if that's you, this is who that call is going for. This is who that call is for. So let me caution you. The call to prayer does not get you accolades from people. So if you're looking to answer something where people are going to look at you and be like, wow, he's cool, she's awesome, you're not going to get it here. You're not going to get special recognition answering the call to prayer. People won't even know that you're doing it. One person will know that you're doing it, the one that matters. Here's what you will get when you answer the call to prayer. You get Jesus. You get intimacy with God in a secret place. You get a passion for the heart of God. You get answers to the deepest desires of your heart. And you get the privilege of seeing life change happen in people around you. That's a great benefit. But sometimes those benefits don't come for a really long time. Sometimes those benefits, in some ways, you might not even see some of it happen in your lifetime. But if answering the call to prayer gets me intimacy with God, I want to answer that call. And there's some of you sitting out here today who would say, I don't care what I get. If I could have intimacy with God, I'll do whatever it takes. I will answer that call. This is for you. So here's what I want to do. I want to give you four ways, and they're going to increase in intensity, okay? I want to give you four practical ways that you can answer the call to prayer. And when I say answer the call to prayer, this doesn't mean that you're answering the call and that you're going to practice it today and then it's off. No, this is like a permanent call. All right? This is a permanent call. When you answer this call, you're saying, "All right, man, starting today and forever, I'm answering this." Okay? At least till the end of the school year. At least, at the bare minimum, you've got to commit to this call for a year. So let's do it in different levels. Here we go. We'll start with the first one. The first is this. It's pretty easy how you can answer the call to prayer. The first one is this. Start praying. Wow, that's pretty revelatory. Boy, sorry. Mind blown. Mine is too. Okay, so if you're going to answer the call, this is the bare minimum. This is bar number one. So this means that if you don't have a prayer life yet, if you haven't been praying, then I am asking you to answer the call to prayer and start praying. That's what I'm asking you to do. I'm asking you to every day at some point pray. Go through that ACTS thing, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. All right, if you answer the call to prayer, you're going to start praying, and you're just going to start every day. Okay, when you get in your car to go somewhere, when you wake up, okay, you don't have to necessarily be sitting still, although I think that would be beneficial, but you are getting in a secret place and you are saying, God, I am going to spend time in prayer with you. That's how you answer the call to prayer. There's no magical way to do it, you guys. There's no magical way other than just starting. It just is what it is. Start praying. That's a call. The second call is this, okay? Again, they're increasing in intensity. Attend the call to prayer nights every other Thursday that we do here at FSM, or attend our pre-service call to prayer every Sunday. All right, let me explain what that means. Every Sunday here in the auditorium, Mike Miller, who's an awesome leader right over here. This is Mike, okay? Mike has dedicated himself, and he's basically said, listen, I value prayer so much that at 10:15 every Sunday right in here, he's going to gather a group of whoever will answer the call and just pray. Pray for the service, pray for what's going on in FSM, and pray however God leads, really. Meeting right back over here to my left and your right back up in here in those pews over there, okay? That's the second way you can answer the call to prayer. You can dedicate yourself and say, I will pray every Sunday that I'm here. I'm going to show up early. And I'm going to focus in and I'm going to intercede for what's going on with FSM. Now, every other Thursday, we have a call to prayer. It was in David's Court, but now it's going to be moved to the prayer chapel. Okay? And we just had one this past Thursday, so the next one's not for two Thursdays, all right? We put it on Instagram when it comes. Would you answer the call to commit to come to call to prayer night? Would you do that? Let me tell you what we do at Call to Prayer, because I don't want you to get the wrong idea of what we do. We don't sit, now I'm not saying this is wrong, okay, so I'm not trying to dog prayer days, but we don't sit in a circle, we don't go around and say, hey, what's your request this week? Hey, what was your high-low this week, okay? This prayer meeting is not for that, okay? This prayer meeting, we put on loud music so that you can pray out loud. We walk around, if you want to sit, you can, but we're moving, okay? We're praying in prayer languages out loud. We are praying through scripture verses, okay? We are praying for students in our Arvada area, okay? We're praying for schools. We're praying for the direction of FSM. We're praying for big things because we believe that prayer moves things. And we believe that if we're going to see a great, like, move of God in FSM and in our city with students, it's not going to start just by our, like, will, okay? It's not going to happen because we really hope it does. It's going to happen because of prayer. So that's the second way that you can answer this call. Make that a priority to show up to. Okay, we're getting more intense here. Number three, start praying for your school every single day. If you're in homeschool, you're not off the hook. You can pray for your school, your family, okay, or whatever, you know. Some of you go to like a co-op or something like that, pray for that, okay? If all else fails, pick a school in the area and pray for that school, all right? Daily pray for your school. This means that every time you walk through the doors, literally every time you walk through the doors, you say some kind of prayer of blessing. God, I bless this school. I bless the students in this school. God, may we see revival in this place. May people turn their lives to you. May your Holy Spirit come and be present. Can you imagine what would happen? Like seriously imagine. Okay, if we believe that God actually moves in prayer, if every student who goes to Ralston Valley in here, every time you walk through those doors, you prayed like earnestly, you were actually serious about it, about your school. Do you know what would happen? I don't even know what would happen. Awesome things would happen. Like God would be so honored and amazing things would happen to the point where it'd be indescribable. A-West students, if you walk through the doors, what would happen if you walked through and just started praying intensely for your school every day? God, I pray blessing over this school. God, I pray students come to you. Lord, use me. Holy smokes. Faith Christian, it's no different for you. What would happen if you walked through the doors and every day you did, God, I pray against the spirit of apathy in this place. God, I pray against, just because we learn about God, God, I pray against that. I pray for a true, like, Holy Spirit conviction and real relationship in the hearts of students. What would happen? Stanley Lake students. Pomona students. Okay, what would happen, man? It would be incredible. Would you commit to that? Would you answer that call? Last one, this is the big one. And a lot of this comes from, some of this is stemming from desperation, and part of what we do at Desperation is they give something called the vow at the very end, and it's basically like a commitment to for a year to like honor God in different kinds of areas, okay? But number four is this. Start a prayer gathering at your school. Wow. Okay, it's number four because it's the highest tier. This is the hardest one. Okay, and only a few people will answer this call. But to those who do answer this call, great is your reward and great things are going to come from that. Okay. I would venture to say this, that there is, now I could be wrong, but I'm just going to like go out on a limb. I would venture to say that there is no student in Ralston Valley right now who has a group that is intensely praying for Ralston Valley on that campus. I would venture to say that there is no student group that's intensely praying at Faith Christian Academy for the students of Faith Christian Academy. I could be wrong. I doubt heavily that there is somebody at Pomona High School or Stanley Lake or A-West who has said, I dedicate myself and I'm going to get as many people around me as I can, whether it's 2 or 3 or 50, and I'm going to pray for this school. I'm going to pray that God does a work here. I'm going to pray for the teachers. I'm going to pray for God's blessing to come. What would happen if every school in Arvada had a student group, whether 2 or 50, who dedicated themselves to weekly praying for that school? Can you imagine what would happen? I can't imagine what would happen. I think we would be so blown away. I think it would be the most incredible thing. I think that this city would have one of the biggest revivals. I think that people would start coming to Christ like nobody's business. I think that schools, that the face of schools would be changed. I think that depression and suicide and those types of things would, like the bell curve would start to like dramatically dip on that kind of stuff, simply because some students answered the call and said, I'm going to give up all the other stuff of this world. I don't care about fame. I don't care about popularity. I care about intimacy with God. I pray about praying God's will to be done in my school. Holy cow. I wrote something a long time ago, and then I just saw it recently, and I wanted to read it, and I can't even remember, I know where I wrote it, I don't remember writing it though, which is kind of weird. And as I was reading it, it was almost like prophetic, and so I was like, man, I've got to like put that down. So I wrote this, and I titled it the FSM Student Declaration, okay? And in my mind, what this is that this would be the heart cry of every student here at FSM, okay, who decides that they're going to answer the call to follow Christ. And here's how it goes, okay? It says this: as students of FSM, we are pursuing a real, authentic, passionate, lifelong, Holy Spirit-infused relationship with God. We will not pursue passively. We will pursue diligently, passionately, desperately, intentionally, and gladly. We want our lives to be vessels and tools for Him. We want our lives to have power. We will not settle for status quo, boring, mediocre, normal, small, easy, or ordinary faith. We want more. We will pursue more. We will be changed. We will impact our world. We will answer the call. That is the heart cry that I'm praying for every student in our student ministry. That's what we're pursuing, you guys. We're not just showing up just because it's kind of what we do. No, we're pursuing more than that. We're here to answer Jesus' call to live our lives fully devoted, 100% fully surrendered to Him. So I want to ask you, will you answer the call by answering the call to prayer? Will you answer the call by dedicating your life to being a life of mission? Will you answer the call by dedicating your full body, your full self to Christ? And will you answer the call by dedicating yourself to worship? That's my question for you today.